the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Passion of Christ, my comfort be. O good Jesu, listen to me. In thy wounds I fain would hide, and there to be parted from thy side. Dear friends, this evening, continued reflection on the Anima Christi and what it teaches us about our devotion to the Eucharist and what our Lord wants to accomplish interiorly by that devotion. By that devotion to Him in our adoration, in our participation in Mass, and most of all, in our reception of Him in the Eucharist. In this votive Mass of the Holy Eucharist, we hear the first account of the Last Supper before the Gospel writers reported it. St. Paul gave this account. And most relevant for us are the words, "For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come." The Apostle is speaking of the Eucharist as the memorial of our Lord's Passion, the showing of His death, as it's termed in this translation. It is the representation of His sacrifice, as the Church has come to call it throughout the centuries. And so in light of that, we reflect on those next four lines of the Anima Christi, pointing you to the holy card that for these 40 hours. And it begins, Passio Christi confortem, Passion of Christ, comfort me, literally. St. John Henry Newman says, Passion of Christ, my comfort be. The Mass is the representation of His Passion. Everything present in our Lord's Passion and Death, everything present at Calvary, is present in the Mass. The piercing of His hands and feet, the flowing of the blood, the piercing of His side, and also His words from the cross are, in a sense, present here. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today you will be with me in paradise. Those words to a sinner and on behalf of sinners are, in a sense, made present here again. That mercy from the cross made present for us so that we can conform our lives to it. There's a famous story, well, famous among us priests anyway, of a priest going to celebrate Mass at a different parish. He was just visiting. He's preparing for Mass, and a lady came into the sacristy and she said, "Father, what's the theme for today's Mass?" And he was a little taken aback because, well, usually that's not a thing, right? And he said, "Well, the theme is the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, made present here on the altar in an unbloody manner under the form of bread and wine." And she's like, "Oh." And as he made last preparations to go out and begin Mass, he heard from the Ambo, "The theme for today's Mass is the representation of the Passion," and so on, not picking up on the fact that that is every Mass. If we could be in any place in history, the most efficacious place, the most powerful place and time, we would be at the foot of the cross. There, with Our Lady, with John, Mary, a few other disciples, we would be there, being with our Lord and thanking Him and even amazingly offering Him. What are the things that's given to us from the cross and St. John Paul II says made present to us again is the gift of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Behold your mother. He gives us His mother from the cross. St. John II says that, in a sense, she's present at every Mass. And always on time, of course. she's sort of mystically present here, because all of those gifts from the cross, that reconciliation with the Father, that perfect act of thanksgiving to the Father, the perfect act of reparation for every sin and for all sins, those beautiful words spoken in the gift of his mother, these are all made present here at Mass. Passio Christi Conforta, Passion of Christ, my comfort be. That Latin word, Conforta, okay, it could be comfort me, or it could be strengthen me. Both the Latin and the Greek that's drawing from, have the same sort of ambiguous or dual meaning. And so the cross, our Lord's passion and death, made present here, is a great comfort. Because here, dear friends in Christ, you bring all of your sufferings, all of your sorrows, those wounds and worries that you have right now, you bring here. And unite them with Christ on the cross. And that is a great comfort. Because then you know that they're not only yours, but he's made them his own. And they're no longer just sufferings, but they become sacrifices. And that's a great comfort, to know that he is with you in your suffering, because you come to be with him in his suffering, the sacrifice. The passion of our Lord also strengthens us. The risen Christ reveals that his death is in fact the victory. On Easter morning, when they see him and they see his wounds, what they realize is his death on the cross was not a defeat, but a victory. And so from the cross, we receive strength, that interior strength, not only by his example of virtue, and that's no small thing. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, we find every virtue represented in our Lord's crucifixion, which means that every virtue is present at the Mass. And we should say, Lord, give me the virtues that I need. Come to Mass with one in mind. Lord, give me that virtue. Passion of Christ, my comfort be, my strength, be my strength. Just being present here at the Mass helps to strengthen us. It brings us comfort, it brings us strength. And logically then, the prayer moves on to a heartfelt plea. O Bone Jesu, exalted man, O good Jesu, listen to me. And I don't like to disagree with St. John Henry Newman, right? St. John Cardinal Henry Newman, very long since name. But the listen to me, it doesn't really capture the Latin. Exaudi me is a very strong command. Audi me means just listen to me. Exaudi me means it's just more forceful. It's like, really listen to me, or listen up. And that's what we say to him. Oh, good Jesus, listen to me, hear me. And first of all, we should sort of pause on that description of our Lord. Oh, good Jesus. Doesn't really do it justice, does it? He's more than just good, we might say. You know? He's the greatest. But this points to attention to divine goodness. God is goodness itself. And God desires to show that goodness to us. He is always willing our good and working for our good. At no moment is he not doing those things. St. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Because he is good and goodness itself, he works perfectly for our good. O Bone Jesu, O Lord Jesus, because you want good for me, even when I don't want it. Even when I'm pursuing things that I think are good, or more likely, I convince myself are good, you are goodness itself, and you desire and are working for that highest good for me, which is my salvation. Examine me. Hear me. There's great confidence in that statement. It's such a strong command to the Lord himself. What does it mean to hear? Well, those of you than just to have the words, you know, bouncing in your ear and then in your mind. To hear means to respond. In Hebrew, the word for obey and hear are the same word. Because according to the scriptural Hebraic understanding of things, if you hear God, of course you would obey Him. And we apply that to God as well. Hear me. And we're confident because He is good that by His hearing us, He will also act for our good. But notice that really that command to God is more for us than for Him. Because He's always acting for our good. When we cry out to Him, what we're doing is we're conforming ourselves to His will. He already wants good for us. By pleading with Him, examining Him, we are making ourselves more well-disposed to the goodness that He wills for us. Our Lord already knows what you need, even before you ask Him, as He says in the Sermon on the Mount, and to which a adolescent response would be, then why do I need to ask Him, right? Well, because there's a difference between just expecting God to do things for us because He's good, and asking Him to do that for us because we're in a relationship with Him, and because we know that He loves us, and we want to love Him more. All of these things we say to our Lord on the cross, all of these things, in effect, we say at Mass, as that sacrifice is made present here, in effect, say, O Lord Israel, without you, hear me. And again, call to mind all of the needs that you've brought me, all of the concerns, the worries, and sufferings, as well as the joys, the prayers of thanksgiving, all of those things. O Lord Israel, without you, hear me as I bring these things. And then, imagining our Lord on the cross made present before us, we pray, Intra tua vulnera sponde me. In thy wounds I fain would hide, Lumen translates it, or better, within your wounds hide me. Not as poetic, meter is all off, the rhyme might not rhyme right, but within your wounds hide me. That's more literal translation. Translation. What does it mean to be hidden in the wounds of Christ? So let's first take stock of the many things that threaten us. Many things in the world. The world threatens us with its false ideologies, with its lies. The world threatens to persecute us more and more. The devil threatens us, and he pursues us. He's not the greatest threat to us. But he's there, and so we want to be hidden. We want to be in a safe place for our own salvation. And of course, we threaten ourselves as well. Our own pride and all of our sins threaten us. So in a sense, we need to be hidden from ourselves. Not just the world and the devil, but also the flesh. That fallen dimension of us that's always threatening us. And so his wounds hide us from danger. And the greatest danger, of course, is pride. And the wounds represent divine humility. They show it forth. To be hidden in his wounds means to enter into that divine humility, to embrace that, to be covered by that. And when we have that, then something extraordinary happens. When we are hidden within that divine humility, then we can be courageous. Then we can actually enter into the spiritual combat more courageously. Because we're not relying on our own strength anymore. We're not trying to negotiate with the world anymore, or with the devil. But we're rather hidden in his wounds, immersed in his humility, so that we can engage in that spiritual combat more. There's one group of persons that doesn't want to any contact with that divine humility. And that, of course, the demons, those angelic persons who rebel, and rebel because they resented the humility of God. They resented his humbling himself to associate himself with us. And that resentment is a really resentment of divine humility. Within your wounds, hide me. Hide me there so that I can become more courageous. Give me a share of your humility, that divine humility, that humility that prompts you to sacrifice yourself for me, a sinner. Hide me in those wounds, so that I can be strengthened by your grace, not relying on my own strength anymore, but confident in your grace. Ne permitas ne separare a te. Ne'er to be parted from thy side, Newman translates it. Do not permit me to be separated from you. This is very similar to the prayer prior to Holy Communion that the priest offers at every Mass. I don't want to be separated from our Lord, to be hidden within his wounds and never to be separated from him. And the only thing that can separate us from our Lord is us. We are the only ones. The devil can tempt us and assault us. The world can tempt and assault us, but they cannot finally break us from him. And so this is really a petition, if you will, against ourselves. Do not let me separate myself from you, Lord. And, you know, that's a great way of understanding the Mass. We want to be so formed by the Mass that, in a sense, we're never separated from it. That it becomes the form of our life, becomes the structure of who we are. And so that there's this, the meaning to this, which is, I don't want to be separated from Christ and his wounds, but also, I don't want to be forgetful of the Mass and all of the graces that I've received here and the importance that it is for me. Do not let me be separated from you. We know that he will never separate himself from us, but that we are able to separate ourselves from him. So we pray that you keep us from that. These prayers then we bring this evening as Christ crucified, risen, ascended, is made present to us. The crucified one made present on this altar. And we say to him, Passion of Christ, comfort me. Bring me comfort and bring me strength. Good Jesus, listen to me, hear me. All the prayers that I have in my heart. Hide me in your wounds and do not let me be separated from you, so that I can live in the vital participation, the Mass that I'm privileged to participate in this evening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.